the greater glory. So this should be the third section, right? I mean, this is the second section today, but third section total, right? This is number three. Matthew 28, 1, verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. So we say, when you hear that word, go make disciples, Matthew, right? Matthew, it means to go make scholars, right? Make scholars. Now, we said it's not a Jesus coined word that when you hear disciple in his day, in their day, when you hear that word disciple, it's just like the way you have an apprentice, you raise an apprentice to becoming a master. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, go make disciples, or say, go make scholars, go make students. Now we said in the background, we have what? The local church and what? Knowledge. You have a local church and you have knowledge. Glory to God, you have knowledge. So we said Christianity is a faith that is centered on the knowledge of the person of Christ. We said that what epignosis is what? Knowledge specific, right? Specific knowledge. So centered on the person of Christ. So our believer's work is to the degree of our knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. And we say it will be evidence in our words. It will be evidence in our communication. Was that what we said? The evidence in our communication. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it will be evidence in our communication and our conduct. Our communication and our conduct. Communication in the sense of how we see and interpret events in the scriptures. Hallelujah. So we looked at the very important quality of a disciple, which is what? Observation. There are a lot of critical things that you would learn as a disciple by just observing. By just observing. Very simple. By just observing. Just observe. Observe what your pastors do. Observe what your leaders do. And just follow suit. Observe. Be intelligent to observe. Are you following me? Be intelligent to observe. Glory to God. Observe the good things and follow them. Amen. Then it will be told. So, in the last section, we saw that the miracles, signs, and wonders point to the fact of the gospel, which is what the resurrection was. That what we said? So let's look at that event again in Exodus 33. Exodus 33. That event in Exodus 33, from verse 7. So, we said they saw the miracle signs and wonders, right? And in verse 18, after seeing the miracle signs and wonders, they saw the cloud descend on the tabernacle and things like that. Verses 18, Moses said, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. I would say that word glory is the Hebrew word kabod, right? Which is translated doxa in Greek. Doxa in Greek. It implies wealth. It implies wealth. Splendor. Splendor. Wealth, splendor. Possession or... possession, right? Yeah. Wealth, splendor, possession. In Exodus 16, let's rush down to Exodus 16. We have a whole lot to cover it. Exodus 16. Exodus 16, verse 7. Look at what it says. I'll come on by 6 into 7. Are you there? And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Observe how Moses used the word here, glory. He uses it in reference to what will be seen, what can be seen. Did you see that? Can you see that in that verse 7? You see, in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. So Moses uses the word glory for what can be seen. Hallelujah. What can be seen? Something to behold. Something to behold that reveals glory. Something to behold that reveals glory. In Exodus 33:10, where we just left, the glory of God, which we say is God's power, splendor, or influence, was seen in the appearance of a cloud. The glory of God, which we say is God's power, God's splendor, God's influence, is seen in the what? In the appearance of a cloud. So we say the scene of the cloud can be described, as a wonder or a supernatural sight. If you look at 2 Chronicles, quickly, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I'm going to be a bit fast. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Verses 14. Look at what he says. He says, so the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Did you see that? He said the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. Say, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So the cloud is used to describe the glory of God. So the appearance of the cloud to them was a proof of God's. The appearance of the cloud to them was a proof, of God's presence each time they saw it. This is that he said the cloud, the color of the cloud, he said they saw the cloud and said the glory of God filled the house of God. So, what did they call the glory? They called the cloud the glory. So, whenever they see the cloud, it was a proof of God's presence with them. Thus, when the word glory is used, as a display or a demonstration. Let me put it this way. When the word glory is used, a display or a demonstration that describes a person or an object is in view. A display or a demonstration that describes a person or an object is in view. A display or a demonstration that describes a person or an object is in view. In Numbers 14:21-22, where we read in the last session, let's look at it again. Numbers 14. Look at what he said. He says, and truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and wilderness and have put me to test, now this 10 times, and have not heeded my voice. When he says in that verse 22, my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt, that word "and" is explanatory. So we can say my signs or my miracle explains my glory. Do you understand me? The miracle explains the glory. So we can say the glory is used for miracles. The glory is used for miracles. Blessed the glory. Father, put it this way. We can say glory is used for miracles, rather. Glory is used for miracles. Thus, miracle shows God's power, splendor, and mind, and might. Did you see that? Since glory is used for miracle, then we can say miracle actually shows God's power, God's splendor, and might. Right? Right? Are you responding? Okay. Glory to God. So God's work or God's display of power amongst men is described as the glory of God. Let's look at 1 Chronicles now, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16:24. Declare his glory among the nations. His wonders amongst all the people. He said, declare his glory amongst all the nations. What is that glory? His wonders amongst all the people. You understand? So God's display of power amongst men is described by them as God's glory. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 24. Are you there? And he said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man. Yet he still lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look at what he said. He said, surely the Lord God has shown us his glory. What is his glory? He called it his glory and greatness. What is it? We've heard his voice from the midst of the fire. Did you see that? From the midst of the fire. Glory to God. So the hearing of God's voice in the midst of fire was the display of God's glory and greatness. Therefore, the glory of God in the Old Testament. Okay, let's put it this way. The glory of God from the Old Testament books. Let's use that for now. The glory of God, looking at the Old Testament book, was used to explain the display of God's power. From the scripture, used to explain the display of God's power, might, greatness, influence, as seen amongst the people. It's the glory of God is used to explain the display of God's power, might, greatness, influence as seen amongst the people. One of the people that have the most demonstration of God's power is who? That's who we know. Moses. Moses has one of the many display of God's power in his ministry. As it's plenty. Moses had such a rich experience with this demonstration of God's power with the children of Israel. Hallelujah. He had such a rich one. And yet, in Exodus 33:9, he just saw one of those displays. Glory descended, right? Cloud descended on the tabernacle. They saw the miracle signs and wonders, which is used to describe glory. Right? Which is used to describe glory. And yet, in verse 18, Moses now says, Lord, show me your glory. Hallelujah. Moses now says, Lord, show me your glory. Go for teaching me the Holy Spirit. Who knows that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, show me your glory. You know, it's just like what is just, you know, they just finished seeing that whatever. The miracle signs and wonders in the camp. And Moses just left there. He said, oh Lord. Show me your glory. See that one? Forget it. Show me your glory. You know, like saying, that one, I know, forget it. Show me your glory. Meaning, there is something that Moses knows. Do you understand me? That is the glory of God. That one that is seeing, that they saw, was a sign, was an hypodermia. It's not the real thing. Are you following this? Glory to God. Glory to God. From glory, bam, bam, to glory, bam, bam, bam. He is taking me. Bam, bam. You know, yeah, we change that line, right? Right? How did you sing it? Yeah, he has taken us, right? It's not he's taking me. He has taken us. Hallelujah. And we get to sing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Ooh, he's taking me higher. From glory to glory. Are you for it? Glory to God. So Moses knew that there's something about that glory. There's something there. That is not the real glory. He said, no. Leave that one. Show me the real one. So there's something he's asking for. Hallelujah. In Exodus 13:21. Let's come back. Exodus 13:21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And he did not take the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from them, from before the people. So they saw supernatural pillar of cloud and fire. And that was a demonstration of God's greatness to them. Can you see that? It's a demonstration of God's greatness to them. They saw it supernaturally. The supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? In Exodus 3:3. Let's go back again. Exodus 3:3. And Moses said, I will now turn and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to you, God called to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, yeah, I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the supernatural sight of God's greatness. Moses had such supernatural sight. You also see, also in Exodus 20:21-22. From verse 21 to 22. So the people stood afar, and Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Was God there? Did you see that? Greatness. They had such rich, they had such numerous experiences. Numerous. Hallelujah. Numerous experiences. You also look at Exodus 24:15-18. You know, Moses still was saying all these things. Yet, you know, look at all these divine greatness, divine appearances. And yet, in Exodus 3:18, he said, Lord, show me your glory. May there's something. Hallelujah. Show me thy glory. So that means Moses knew what he was asking for. And it will not be the miracle signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will say the miracles are what signs. They are not the real thing. They point to the real thing. Right? As what you said in the last session. They point to the real thing. They are not the real thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Moses 2 makes us, lets us see or makes us see that the clouds and the supernatural sights they saw wasn't the representation of God. It makes us see that in Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. Look at Deuteronomy 4, everybody. Deuteronomy 4. Verses 12. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. Are you seeing it? Eh? You saw no form, you only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. Verse 15. Say, take careful heed. 15. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. In answer, verse 16, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male and female. He said, you saw no form. Hallelujah. We'll get to explore that word form. Not in this series, but subsequently. Hallelujah. So you saw no form. Meaning he made them see immediately that those supernatural sights were not the representation of God. Do you understand me? He made them see, hey, he spoke to you out of fire, but you saw no form. So don't represent him with anything. Do you understand? So those supernatural sights, he quickly tells them they are not the real thing. This is why you must pay attention to what he said around. Are you following me? But pay attention. Because if this is not properly explained, you think the pillar, that was God they saw. No, he said, you saw no form. So don't represent it with anything. You saw no form. Are you following that? So, you're not supposed to represent him with anything at all. Moses quickly told them, immediately, he quickly let them know that you only heard a voice. You saw nothing. Do you understand? So, he's telling them, pay attention to the words. Pay attention to the words. Right? Pay attention to the words. Not the prefigure. Glory to God. Very important that you see. So the question will now be, what does Moses mean when he says, show me your glory? Show me your glory. That word show. Show is the Greek word ra. R-A-A-H. Ra. Did I say Greek? Hebrew. The Hebrew word ra. Ra. It implies to behold. Or to witness. It is used for sight. To behold, to witness. Used for sight. You find it in Genesis 34, verse 1, to see. Genesis 34, 1, Exodus 3, 3, to see. So he says, show me your glory. So Moses' request was to see. Was to do what? Moses' request was to see God's glory. That was Moses' request. To see God's glory. That was his request. Show me your glory. That means what every other thing that they saw. Remember, Moses has discarded everything they saw. They say you saw nothing. Right? So you say you saw nothing. So, everything they saw cannot be God's glory. So, you only heard voice. You didn't see his glory. You saw nothing. So, don't liken him to anything. Did you see that? So, that's why you must read everything together. Read everything together to see, hey, Moses is telling them, don't liken him to anything. To any carved image. Because you saw nothing. You only heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Show me your glory. Let me see your glory. Let me have a sight. That's what he's asking for. He wants to see. Sight. His glory. I want to sight your glory. So, God's response to him will give us the answer to Moses' request. God's response to him will give us what Moses' request was all about. Look at verse 19. Exodus chapter 32. Look at verse 19. He says, and he said, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. This is, I will make my good. Show me your glory, I will make my goodness. This is that. Show me your glory, I will make my goodness pass before you. I will make my goodness pass before thee. That word goodness is the Hebrew word tov, T-U-B, tov. It's used in Genesis 45 verse 18. Genesis 45 verse 18. Tov. Bring your father and your house to me, and your household, and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Goodness. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6:11. Deuteronomy 6:11. He said, a house is full of good things which you did not feel, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. That's the word good things. Psalms 31 verse 9. Okay, there we go. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, have mercy on me. Hallelujah, O Lord. That's what have mercy taught. So, that word goodness taught is used, or it implies a good thing. A good thing, and is used for someone who is good. Someone who is good. In Jeremiah 31 verse 11. Jeremiah 31 verse 11. It is used to say, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hands of one stronger than he. It's used for the redemption of Jacob. Is used for the redemption of Jacob. So he said, so the goodness of God is meaning what? Listen to this. So he said, I will make my goodness, talking about his good thing, which will be what? We'll get to see that shortly. I will make my goodness, good thing, good thing, pass before you. Pass before you. I'll make my way pass before you. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. So the question is, what is his goodness? What is God's goodness? What does he call his goodness? He said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That is his goodness. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that word next to look at is the word gracious. 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 Now that word gracious is the from the Hebrew word chanan. Chanan. C-H-A-N-A-N. Is used to show favor. To show favor. Chanan. To show favor. It's from the root Hebrew word chen. Chen. It's from the root Hebrew word chen. Chen implies or chen is used for a debtor whose debt is fully paid off. The very act of paying off one's debt is called chen. Chen. Thus, the goodness of God is His grace and mercy. That is what Moses makes us see. To show, I will make my goodness pass before you. I will be gracious and I will have mercy, compassion. So God's goodness is God's grace and mercy. Hallelujah. God's grace and God's mercy. I will say God's graciousness is what refers to cancellation of debt. Right? He's referring to cancellation of debt. So what do you think Moses was asking for? Moses' request was concerning the redemption of Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Remember, we said that his glory, that he said, show me your glory, will be when he will be the same thing what he said before verses 8 when he said, let your presence go with us. Do you understand? Let your presence go with us. We'll get to explore that. We'll explore it a bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So God's goodness will be His graciousness. Right? God's goodness will be His graciousness. And He calls His graciousness mercy. Right? Which is what? The forgiveness of sins. Which is what? The forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This looks like a very short session. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, Moses' prayer was concerning redemption in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember we said it is from the response of God who knew what he prayed for. Right? Look at verse 19. And that is where we would, verses 20. That is where we would actually call it the end of this session, not the end of the teaching. This session. Hallelujah. Let's quickly look at that verses 20. He said, and he said, listen, Moses asked for, show me your, what did Moses ask for? Show me your glory. And what was God's response? My graciousness and my what? Mercy. Right? Look at verses 20. He says, you cannot, but he said, you cannot see my face. Watch that word. You cannot see my face. For no man sees me and live. We'll do that construction again today. Hallelujah. For no man sees me and live. Okay. Say, you cannot see my face. So, that means the glory of God is his face. So, what Moses wanted to see was God's face. You see that? That is in the Hebrew, panim. And we're going to see what is God's face. Hallelujah. What God's face wanted to see. Glory to God. So, we'll have